Right. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we're going to read the first seven verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. We'll read, I'll pray, we'll have a special, and I'll come back and preach for a little while. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, I need you to work through my sinful flesh. I wished I could give you a better preacher. I wished I could give you a more yielded preacher, but Lord, I give you all that I can right now. I pray that you'd use your words, your eternal words, to help these, your people. Help us to listen with your power. Help us to get the message that you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world that is full of frustration. Some of you got frustrated because you didn't get up when you were supposed to this morning. Some of you got frustrated because your husband was snoring too loud last night. Some of you, we get frustrated about our jobs. We get frustrated about money. We get frustrated about our children. That's something worth getting frustrated over. We get frustrated with parents. I'm not going any farther. We get frustrated about school. We get frustrated about the government. And that is a big frustration. We even get frustrated about traffic. And that is worth getting frustrated over as well. People are just frustrated about life in general. The title of my sermon today is How to Live Less Frustrated. That doesn't mean you get divorced. Okay? Frustration could be defined as disappointment in not getting what you want or not getting what you had hoped for. Frustration is you not receiving that which you want or that which you hope for or that which you thought you were getting. You know, you take college kids, they start dating and they think they have the world by the tail and they're in love and they know each other. You give it about 3 months after they're married and they're finding out marriage isn't exactly what they thought it was. Sweetie, that hunk, when he wakes up, has bad breath, his feet stink at night, and you ain't no petunia in the morning either, all right? It's not quite everything you think it is. There's a reality that goes with it. And when the shine wears off, you're there with it the rest of your life. You better learn to enjoy it. It kind of reminds you of the story, the couple got married, and they were on their honeymoon, and they were getting ready for that evening in bed, and she took her false teeth out, put them in the cup beside on the dresser there. Then she took her wooden leg off, put it on top of the dresser. She took her eyeball out that was fake, put it in the dresser. And he looked at her, looked at the dresser, and looked at her, and looked at the dresser. She said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't know whether to sleep with the dresser or on the bed." That's kind of how it goes, amen? Now, frustration. Some of you, that hit a little too close to home, huh? Frustration comes when you expect something a certain way, or you expect a certain something, and it doesn't come as you expected. You could define that as frustration. In other words, frustration, I'm going to put it down where we live, all right? I'm going to put it in simple terms. Frustration is you not getting everything you want, not getting what you expect. Now, God tells us in Psalm 37, verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, this is probably one of the most mispreached, misunderstood passages in the Bible. This does not mean that God is a genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle, and the genie pops out, and you tell the genie what you want, and shazam, there it is. That doesn't happen that way. Can I tell you something? God is the God of the universe. You have no right to tell God what to do. We live in a world that has this, what I call, prosperity gospel. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's the nicest word I have for it.
Yes.
I may not be able to spell it, but I can say it. The very Jesus they talk about doing that, go back to his life. How did it turn out? They crucified him. Died one of the most cruel deaths in world history.
Yes.
And he was innocent. Guess it didn't work out for the one that, the way it was supposed to, huh? Now, people even get frustrated with God. Do you know that there are people who get frustrated with God? Well, I prayed and asked God not to let this happen, and it happened, and I'm mad at God. Well, I prayed and asked God to give this, and God didn't give it, so God's not good, and I don't like God anymore. You know, I thought we left that stuff back at the sandbox when we were kids. That's this, I'll like you if you like me garbage. I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend. Did you know that there's big people that live that way too?
Yes, sir.
We live that way with God. Everybody doing all right? Some of you look like you're really upset with me right now. You're going to kill somebody before the sermon's over if you're not careful. It's okay. I promise you, God's a good shot. He's not going to hurt you or me. I'm preaching his word. It's truth.
Yes.
Now, there are really only two ways to solve the way not to be frustrated. Number one, you get everything you want. Or number two, you want everything you have. That's really the only two solutions. You either get everything you want, or you want everything you have. Now, let me start here, and then I'll explain. We are all sinful humans.
Yes, sir.
Did you know there's not a human being on the face of the earth that is not sinful? I don't care what El Papa says. You can put a $500,000 grapefruit on your head. You can walk around with smoke flinging out of a vase. And you can say, dominoes, dominoes, who's got the dominoes, all you want. And do the sign of the cross all you want. You can live in obscurity. You can even say that and wrap yourself in phylacteries and ceremonies. But human beings are all sinners. Did you know that every pope has died? Proof for all sinners, for the wages of sin is death. Hey, well, preacher, who do you think you are? I'm a sinner just like you. God called me to be a preacher, but I am not perfect. Stay around me for about 3 hours, you'll figure that out. Matter of fact, you probably figured out long before then. Now, quiet, Dad. You didn't have to say amen there. I cannot promise that you'll never be frustrated in life. But I can promise you that you can live with less frustration in your life. I'm going to teach you a truth today, preach a truth to you today. But I need your, this is dangerous to ask for, I need your mind. For some of you, it's not hard to give over because you can just, here you go, all right? But I need your help with it. No human being will ever reach the point where they won't be frustrated, because no human being reaches the point where they don't sin. But our sin causes us to want to be God. I won't take time to turn there, but if you went back to Genesis chapter 3 at the story of the fall of man, the serpent, Satan, came to man and came to Eve and said, "Eve, wouldn't you like to eat of that forbidden tree? In the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. You will be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, Satan was telling Eve and Adam, when you disobey God, you could decide good and evil for yourself. You could be like God. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 14, that is the same sin that Satan committed in heaven. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God." Hello. In other words, Eve, the day thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you won't surely die, and you can be like God. You can decide good and evil, right and wrong for yourself. By the way, that is the thing that we struggle with most in this life. Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, I see it this way. How does God see it? Amen. See, when we put our lives up against that book, we fall way short, don't we? We want to compare ourselves with somebody else. God says, "Why don't you compare me with my words?"
Yes.
Wow. Now, man, in his first sin, chose to be his own God. Now, watch this. That means this. Everything he wanted then became sinful. Now, it didn't mean everything that was there was sinful, but he was going to decide whether he should have it or not. He would decide when he had it or not. He would decide versus God, and the struggle began between God and man. Now, wait a minute. From that first sin, man was destined to hell because it's the same sin Satan had committed. Watch this. But Jesus Christ came and paid man's sin debt. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God rebirths your dead spirit in you, and you're alive in Christ. Now you have the wherewithal to obey God. But may I say this, the battle's still there. Did you know once you get saved, you don't stop sinning? Somebody say amen. Look in the mirror. You didn't stop sinning. Now, it doesn't give you a license to go out and sin. But may I say this, when you got saved, all of your sin was cared for, past, present, and future. Praise God. God didn't die just for the ones you did commit. He died for all of them. The ones you just committed were in the future when he died for them. Think about that. Your present sin was future sin to him. So he's already cared for it eternally. Now watch this. This means in order for us to reduce our frustration, we need to learn how to accept what comes our way. Again, the definition of frustration is either getting everything you want or wanting everything you have.
Yes.
Can I tell you what the biggest problem with frustration is? This isn't good grammar, but it's good preaching. It's our wanter. Our wanter is the problem. Do I get everything I want or do I want everything I have? If I could get my wanter changed, I can delight myself in the Lord. He'll change my wanter, and then I've got everything I want. You see, if you'll listen, I think I can help you. Psalm 37:4 is not us getting the desires of our heart only. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." In other words, we ought to want what God wants us to want. We ought to want what God wants us to want. Last Monday evening, and last Monday, Rick was lying there at University Hospital here in Martinsburg, and they had to make the decision about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They were taking the tube out. And not an easy decision, but it was the right decision to be made at the time. Can I tell you something? we didn't want Rick to go to heaven. We'd like to keep him around a while. But God wanted him home. You say, preacher, do you understand it? He didn't tell me one time to understand him. He just told me to trust him. Not one verse in that book where it says, understand God. If you could understand God, you'd be greater than God, and you wouldn't want a God you could understand. Thank God for trust. Thank God for trust. I didn't understand it, but I trusted God. Larry will tell you, and anybody that was there, I prayed, and I said, God, he's in your hands. You do what you want. We'd like to keep him, but if you want him home, let's take him, and let's not let him linger and suffer very long. They were ready for that. Oh, about 4 hours and 45 minutes later, he was breathing heavenly air, standing up straight, no cancer, no nothing, and grabbed a set of golf clubs and was on the golf course.
Amen.
Now, may I say this? It wasn't what we wanted, but guess what? It was what God wanted. Did you know? Listen to this. God kept him alive long enough to get the gospel to where he'd listen to it and get saved. If he'd have died 6 weeks before then, he wouldn't be in heaven right now. God kept him alive long enough so that he could get saved. Praise the Lord. Now, let me help you with something here. We want what God wants over what we want. Then you get less frustration. None of us are going to be perfect at this. But let me give you about, four things I'm going to give you. Number one, don't expect to be loved the way you love. Do not expect to be loved the way you love. Can you imagine how frustrated God would be if he expected all of us to love him as he loves us? God would be quite frustrated because none of us can love the way he loves because God is sinless. God is perfect. We're not. We're sinful. We're imperfect. That means this: God could never get love and would never be satisfied with love because we're less than what he is. Now listen to this statement. You get frustrated with a spouse because they don't love you the way you love them. Can I tell you something? That's unfair. My beautiful wife down here. I love her. I'll tell her all the time, you can't love me as much as I love you. And she'll say, no, I love you more. No, I love you morest. And we go back and forth. Say, what is that? I don't think my wife could love me as much as I love her. That's not criticizing her love. It's maximizing how much I love her. I don't feel unfulfilled with that statement. My love is not obligated to get back. My love is obligated to give. And I want her to have more love. I want my daughter to have more love than she can give me. I tell her all the time, I love you more than you love me. What's that statement you send me every once in a while? You've loved me for 19 years, but I've loved you my whole life. Something like that. And that may be true, but she didn't know how to express it the first few years, that's for sure. Say, what do you mean? Waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, squawking, doing all kinds of nasty stuff in a diaper. That's not love. Holding her up and looking at her, and she said, Daddy, I got a cough. Well, cough. And she throws up all over you. All right, that's not love. It was love that I didn't pinch her little head off when she did it. Now, wait a minute. I love my daughter more than any human could love her. I believe that. And she believes she loves me more than any daughter could love a daddy. And I'm glad she believes that.
Praise the Lord.
But can I tell you something? We shouldn't expect to be loved the same way. Okay, let me show you what I mean. You ladies, God bless you. I can watch ladies greet each other. Brother Gus. They'll see each other, and they walk up, oh, hi, and there's, you know, three or four of them in a hug. And they're just hugging all over each other. Brother Stoltz, I have never walked up to you and said, Brother Stoltz, oh, let's hug. All right? That does not happen. The moment it does, fellas, take me out back and shoot me. I have no desire to run up and say, oh, Rich, hug me, hug me. That doesn't mean I haven't hugged some of you men. But we don't just walk up, you know. You'd say something's wrong there. You're right. If I need to go to the washroom, I don't ask Brother Mike, would you go to the washroom with me? But ladies go in herds. You walk by a ladies' room and it's... You walk by a men's room and it's dead quiet. We don't want to talk in there. Yeah. Does that mean that men don't love as much as a woman loves, or that a woman doesn't love as much as a man? No, we love differently. God made it that way on purpose. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know that God accepts all of our expressions of love? There's some of you, you cry very easily when you say, I love you. And it touches God's heart in a special way. There's others, you tell God jokes and you laugh a lot. And God enjoys that. Yeah, I have three children. I have my son Josh and his wife Ruth Ann. I have Jeff, who's 21. Josh is 24, almost 25. And I've got my daughter. Do you know all three of my children are different? I express my love to them differently because they're different people. I express my love to my daughter-in-law a little differently. And we don't call her a daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. And we treat her that way. And I enjoy that. But may I say this? God is patient with us and wants us to grow closer so that we can express our love deeper. Did you know I express my love differently to my daughter today than I did when she was 3 years old? You say, why? Because you put that on your lap and you can't bounce it up and down as easy. I can't put her on my foot and bounce her and play horsey. Okay? The old mule ain't what she used to be. Not her, me. There's more to bounce. Now, wait a minute. As we mature, our love changes. Did you know after 27 plus years of marriage, my love for my wife is expressed differently than it was 27 years ago?
Yes, sir.
It's deeper. There's more of it. Now, we cannot expect any person to love us the way we love them. If we do, we're going to be frustrated in life.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you where husbands and wives get in trouble? He doesn't express his love to you the way you express your love to him, and you expect him to express it the same way you express it. And may I say this, you're going to be frustrated in life.
Yes.
Now, fellas, I think you ought to tell your wife many times a day you love her and not just say the words, mean them. I don't believe in this philosophy. I told you once I loved you. I've changed my mind to let you know. Well, you better be glad she doesn't live that way, because she'd have left you a long time ago, dude. There's more to love than just saying it one time in your life. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
I didn't look at anybody when I said that, all right? If you're guilty, talk to him, not me. Can I tell you something? I don't expect my wife, and I'm going to make a statement here, and please don't mistake what I'm about to say. Fellas, if you expect your wife to love you like you love her, or ladies, if you expect him to express his love like you do, don't mistake this statement. That's a homosexual mentality in a certain way. You want the same love back that you're giving. That's what the sodomites do. Can I tell you something? That's not the way God made it.
No.
You don't put two positive charges of electricity together and get electricity. You got to have a positive and a negative.
Yep.
You got to have both for it to work. Guess what? Thank God the whole world isn't full of men. It would be a nasty place. Thank God the whole world isn't just women, or there'd be very little that gets done that need the tough things that need to get done. The tougher decisions wouldn't be there. And you say, well, I could make those hard. Yeah, look at Hillary. Can I tell you something? Yeah, please don't. That's eye pollution. I mean, we can't expect our children to express their love the way we express our love. Did you know little Logan at 3 years old can't express his love the way mom and dad can? Why is it that we 30, 40, 45, 50-year-olds expect a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old to express their love the way we do? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You're going to have to accept the slobbery kiss or the snotty hug and not get upset. I was recently, one of the kids came up and hugged all over me, and I had stuff all over my suit. And one of the parents said, "Oh, preacher." I said, "It's okay." I said, "They love me and I love them. Suits can be cleaned. Doesn't matter a bit to me." Those are love marks, amen?
Yes,
sir.
That's right.
And I don't mind them. Now, when 70-year-old people do it, it's a little different, all right? But let's not get so concerned about the how they express it. Just the fact that they expressed it. I tell people that go through a hard time, to the Cole family in there. May I say this? People are going to express things, and they're going to say something that may even hurt you through all this. They don't even mean to. Forget what they said and just accept the fact they said something. Some of you ladies have lost children, babies. And I'll say this up front. We ought to keep our opinions to ourselves. Just let them know you're praying for them. If they want help, they'll come get it from you. Until then, just say, "We love you. We're praying for you." They don't need to know. You don't need to know all the details. You don't need to know. You say, "Well, I want to know." Frustration in life. Amen. I tell people all the time, somebody's going to try to help you and they're going to hurt you. They're not trying to hurt you. They honestly or sincerely trying to help, but they don't know how to help. Forget what they say and just accept the fact they said something. Just blow it off and just say, "God bless you. And I didn't hear a word you said, and it's okay." You say, why? Because they're trying. They're trying. Now, parents, friends, it's all the same. Now, we need to learn to love people as they want to be loved, not just how we want to love them. Do you know that I try to study a little bit? I try to love each and every one of you the way you would like to be loved, but sometimes I don't always hit it. I try. Some of you, you're satisfied with just a handshake. Good to see you, man. And you don't want to get any closer than that. That's all right. There's others. You need me to be a little warmer and squishier. Now, I'm not real squishy, but I try. But there's people in here, you've needed me to cry with you, and I'll cry with you. You know, it wasn't hard for me, and listen carefully, it's not been hard for me to cry with Rhonda through the loss of Ray. Number one, Ray was my buddy. Number two, I'd want somebody to care for my wife if I weren't here. So I'll take care of her like I'd like somebody to take care of her. And don't take this the wrong way. But I've worked on commodes at her house already since Ray's gone. Amen? Say why? Because it needed done.
Yes, sir.
Say, "Preacher, you?" Yeah. Say why? Because she needed it.
Yes, sir.
She needed to know that was just important to me as anything else. Can I tell you something? It's not hard to express love the right way. We just have to come outside of ourselves and watch somebody. Did you know I have to be careful how I express my love to my wife? Because what I might think is love, she might not take as love. There are times where you don't pick. Amen? Say why? Because you might mean it for fun and she's taking it serious and that's not a good situation. And then you got to apologize. Now, making up is fun. But don't do it on purpose. You know, don't get so frustrated when somebody does not accept your expression of love as deeply and as heartfelt as you thought they would. I remember the first time one of the men I worked for, I won't tell you who, but I walked up and I mustered all the loyalty and expression I had and I said, just want you to know, I love you. Say, what did you get back? Not a word. I thought, boy, that went over like a lid balloon. So I tried it again. This man that I worked for wasn't real free in using expressions like that. It was okay. One day I asked him, how come you don't? He said, I do. I give you more to do. He said, that's how I say I love you. Okay, I can accept that. Now, do I think he should have been a little freer? Doesn't matter what I think. That's how he thought.
Yes, sir.
I learned to accept that. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Some people are not real expressive with love. Don't let that frustrate you. There are some people you'd like to be warm and squishy with, and they're not warm and squishy. Don't let that frustrate you. There are some... squishy, squishy, squishy. You know, when you got 3-year-olds that are listening that well, I love it. I wish they could get the adults to listen that good, Logan. You know, just because one lady is all warm and fuzzy and another lady doesn't quite feel as warm and fuzzy doesn't mean she hates your guts. Learn to accept people's expressions of love. I'm going to make a statement. Little in life hurts as badly as loving somebody and wanting to be loved back the same way. You're setting yourself up for hurt and frustration. Learn to accept any level of expression back.
Yes,
sir. Any expression. Now, number two, I got to hurry. So, number one, don't expect to be loved the way you love. Number two, don't expect the same thinking or logic in others. Don't expect the same logic or thinking in others. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Did you know we all think differently?
Yes, sir.
Especially men and women.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Especially adults and teenagers.
Yes, sir.
Teenagers just don't think. Their brain rolls out their ear, and eventually they catch back up to it somewhere down the road, hopefully. All right? But did you know that 2 + 2 = 4? Now watch this. Did you know there's many ways to come up to that, though? You say no. 2 + 2 = 4. No. 3 + 1 = 4. 4 + nothing = 4. 1/2 times 8 = 4. 2 × 2 = 4. 4 × 1 = 4. And 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 + 0.5 = 8 = 4 as well. Can I tell you something? There are many different ways. You say, well, if you just learn 2 + 2 = 4, yeah, but no matter how you came up with it, it's still 4. And quit being frustrated because somebody else worked it a little differently than you did. As long as the right answer was there, why are you frustrated? Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Now, those of us that have lived enough life have realized some of the shortcuts. But you didn't work the shortcut the first time you did it either. You say, well then, bless God, they need to listen to me. I know the right way. No, you know the right way for you.
Yes, sir. That's the truth.
But it doesn't mean that's the only way to do something. Boy, that's good stuff. No two people ever think the same way. My wife and I have been married 27 plus years. Do you know we don't think the same way on everything? She likes coffee with ice in it, cream and sugar and caramel mocha. If you want hot chocolate, get hot chocolate. But don't call it coffee and put ice in it. I like coffee strong enough and black enough to stand a spoon up in it and nothing in it. If it don't make your hair curl, it wasn't strong enough. If after you're done with your cup of coffee, you can't spit brown for about an hour, it wasn't strong enough. Amen? And don't wash my cup. Now, did you know we don't think the same on coffee? I like my coffee to where it burns the hair off my tonsils.
Yes, sir.
You can't have that anymore, Rosie, because you don't have any tonsils left. But I like my coffee boiling hot in 100-degree weather.
Yes,
sir. I mean, just about 209 degrees.
Yep.
You know, 3 degrees from bubbling. I like it that way. Say, well, it's too hot for you. Yes, not for me. Don't put that stuff starts getting cold. It's not worth drinking, in my opinion. But in her opinion, she likes it cold in the summer, hot in the winter. Okay, that's fine. I don't like anything in mine. She does. Don't corrupt the holy being. Amen. Just because she thinks differently about coffee doesn't mean we should argue over it. She gets it the way she likes it. I get it the way I like it. We're both happy, and I don't get frustrated. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know that children think differently than adults? Some of you that think you know everything, go back and go through the process of what you went through as a kid. Some of the things that you did that you wouldn't want to do again. You know, it's selfish for us to expect everyone to think the way we do. If I say to my wife, I expect you to do it this way and this way only from here on out, that's selfish. Let me bring it down to where we live. Just because she didn't dust or vacuum the way you would, listen to this, doesn't mean she did it wrong. If it got done, it got done. Hey, Slick, if you want it done your way, then you do it. She'd be glad to let you do it. Well, I like my clothes cleaned this way and folded this way, and she's not doing it. Then you go do it. You know, I don't complain. Now, I have things set up in a certain order. She's learned it. And we never struggle. But guess what? If it's not there, I'm not going to say anything to her. She did the laundry. Thank God it's clean. I'll figure it out. I will. And by the way, I've done the laundry. Now, my version of doing the laundry and hers might be a little different.
Yes, sir.
I can get them real good and clean, put them in the baskets, throw it all on the bed, and she can fold it. Amen? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Did you know that leaders and followers think differently? Did you know if you're a leader... Listen to me very carefully. Did you know if you're a leader, all of your followers are not going to think like you? If they were, they would have been a leader.
That's right.
If everybody thought the way you thought, they would be the leader and you wouldn't be the leader. It's your job to lead them into the right thinking and right ways to get things done. Boy, that's a good statement. Same thing in parenting. Did you know your 4, 5, 6-year-old doesn't think the way you think? They don't, especially if it's a boy, they don't understand that a shower means going in, getting wet from head to toe, and using soap all over from there. They think if they go in there and turn the water on and say they took a shower, they took a shower. Or they get in and play in there for a half hour, but the soap's still dry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can you tell I had two boys? Can I tell you something? Their version of what it is may be far different than yours. Don't get upset with them. People do what you inspect, not what you expect. It's your job to lead them to that. Now, it's quite selfish to expect anybody to think only your way. Can I tell you something? Your thinking should line up with the Word of God.
Yeah.
To become less frustrated in life, think according to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That means this. Don't watch the news. If it doesn't line up with that, you're not thinking God's way. Let this mind, Philippians 2:5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to line our thinking up with that book. We'll be less frustrated in life. I'm not frustrated by the election right now. I'm not frustrated with the world situation right now. Can I tell you why? I've lined my thinking up with the Word of God. And may I say this, just keep looking up. Jesus is coming back real soon.
Yes.
I'm getting excited. You say, well, preacher, what are we going to do if Hitler gets in the White House? We're that much closer to the rapture.
Yes.
It's just the coming of the beast.
Amen.
Forgive me, Lord. Now, we adults cannot expect a child to think like an adult. We can't expect a teenager to think like an adult. Matter of fact, we can't expect a teenager to think. Something happens in seventh grade, their brain rolls out their ear, and hopefully by the time they graduate, they find it. But it happens. That's part of maturing. It's part of growing up. They'll catch up eventually. Now, let me give you one more thing here. Don't think you need everything you want. Don't think that you need everything that you want. Most all of us have more than we need. Most everybody in here has far more than you need. You have more than one pair of clothes. Some of you have several pairs of shoes. Some of you several hundred pairs of shoes. Some of you have more food in the cabinets than you could eat in a week. We don't know what it's like to really be in need. You have electricity. You have water. You have a place to live. You have cars. We think we need more than we really need. The poorest person in this church lives better than most people that are rich in other countries.
Yes.
I'll promise you. There's probably not a family represented in here that didn't stop at the gas station or the store this week and pick up something to eat or drink. And we think we're needy. Everybody doing all right? Now, it's not wrong to have nice things. But it's wrong to have them if you're unwisely in debt to get them. If you have to play the credit card game at the end of the month to pay your bills, you're too far in debt. Say, what's that? You pay one credit card with another credit card and pay that one with another one, and you're just rotating your debt and making it worse and worse and worse and worse. You say, preacher, I can't believe people would do that. There's people in here that are doing it. I can tell by the look on your face. Did you know you could live with a lesser car than what some of us drive? Thank God for my old 2004 F-150 with 187,000 miles on it. Now, maybe someday I'll get a newer truck, but that one's going to die first. I like my old truck. You say, why? Because it gets me to where I'm going. And for as little as I drive it, it's good enough for me. I don't need a brand new F-150. Now, if you're going to go buy it for me, I'll accept it. But until then, I'm not. And I probably would not accept it, just so you know. You say, why, preacher? Because I got more than what I need. Did you know I've helped people get out of debt by selling a newer car, getting a lesser car, saved them on insurance, saved them on taxes, saved them on car payments? I've helped people lose $400, $500, $600 a month just by changing cars. And it helped get them out of debt. You have to swallow your pride a little bit. But do you want out of debt or do you want to keep struggling? Boy, that's good stuff. Some of you want to sell your house when you're 50 years old and get a bigger house with bigger property. Can I tell you something? In 10 years, you don't want to take care of that property. We buy big houses at the wrong time of life. Now, you don't need...
You don't need long, expensive vacations every year.
I didn't say it's wrong to go on vacation. But may I say this? I know people that go in debt every year just to go on vacation. I'm for you going on vacation. But there's cheaper ways to go on vacation. And I'm just going to pass by that one. Don't think or talk about things you might want. Be content with what you have. My family will tell you Christmas time is the most frustrating time of their life because, Dad, what do you want? Nothing. I don't. If I never get another gift, it doesn't bother me. This is true. I know a pastor. I know him personally. He got upset with his church because one year for his birthday, they only spent about $600 or $700 on him. And he actually got upset with his church over it. Well, they usually spend this much. They must not love me anymore like they used to. A couple weeks after his birthday, he said, "What do you think about this?" I said, "You really don't want me to tell you what I think." He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't." And I would not tell him. Can I tell you something? I don't want anything from you. I want to give everything I got for you. I don't even care if you don't know when my birthday is. My wife and I, that card right there means as much to my wife and I as anything you could ever do for my wife and I. It is. Say why? Because I like candy. Now she can have the Almond Joy coconut junk and the peppermint patties, but I'll eat the rest. You know, I like those lemon head things. Now, wait a minute. That, to me, is far more important than if somebody bought me a brand new suit. I mean that. I don't need you to express your love to me. I just want to express mine to you through God. Now, I'll accept the expressions of love the best I can, but may I say this, I don't expect them. I don't want your love to be based on how much you give. I want it to be based on how much I love you. Boy, that's good stuff. Number four, and I'm done. Bless you. The best way to be less frustrated is to get yourself right with God.
Yes, sir.
The best way to be less frustrated in life is to get yourself right with God. Can I tell you something?
The lost world is very frustrated because they don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. If you thought you might not make it to heaven, can you see why you might be frustrated? You've been told by religious people that you got to join this church, or you got to get baptized, or you got to give this so much money, or you got to live a certain lifestyle. You got to fall on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water and jibber jabber in an unknown tongue, and you got to do this, and you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. No, God says you must be born again. It's nothing that you do. It's not by your righteousness. It's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You accept what Jesus Christ did for you because, first of all, you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. Jesus paid it all, past, present, and future. And you have to trust what he did and that alone to take you to heaven. It's not by what you do, but by what he did for you that gets you there. The moment you accept that, you're on your way to heaven.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? No wonder the world's frustrated. The average denominational church meets every other year to decide what their doctrine is. That book hadn't changed.
Not at all.
God didn't change what we're supposed to believe. It's all right there. Well, the church says, it doesn't matter what the church says, what does God say? So you need to get saved. There are people in here, you've been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You need to obey him. I'm not mad. You just need to obey him. We got a baptistry downstairs. We can take care of it. And I'm not mad. I'm just saying, you say, well, what's that mean? It's just like my wedding ring. I can take it off and still be married. You can be saved and never baptized and still go to heaven. But people know you're saved, just like people know I'm married, by me wearing that. It's a public profession of the death, the burial, resurrection, which is what you trusted to get saved. I can't tell you everything about it. I've been preaching for 36 years, but I can tell you this. It will bring assurance of your faith to you, and it does let everybody know. And it's an act of obedience, period, end of discussion. Maybe you've been saved, maybe you've been baptized, and you need to join a church. You need to join the church. Just coming doesn't mean you've joined. You need to be saved, you need to be baptized, and we ought to join the church. Joining the church doesn't get anybody to heaven. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven, but it does get you right with God. By the way, don't just join. Be here for all the services that you can. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Amen?
Yes.
Don't get mad at me. We ought to tithe. That's how God takes care of his house. This is his house, his work. He asked us to give a portion of it, take care of it. And if we do, he'll take care of ours with us.
Amen.
That means you need to read your Bible. Some of you, the only time you read your Bibles on Sunday morning when you come, pop it open, and we read some scripture before the sermon. God says you ought to read your Bible. This is what he has to say. Just read it. You say, well, it doesn't all make sense. Not going to all make sense, but if you can get one word to make sense, you're doing pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Eventually it'll come. We need to go out and tell others about him. It's called soul winning. Knock on doors, tell people how to get saved someday. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Show up on Tuesday or Saturday or call me and we'll set up a time some other time. But you need to go out and tell other people about him. Can I tell you something? The moment you win somebody to Christ, your whole life will change.
Yes, sir.
It will. I got a sweet letter this week, Fred, from your sister-in-law down in Alabama. Fred's brother and sister-in-law in Alabama. Fred's brother prayed for Fred for years and years and years and years and years and years to get saved. She wrote me a letter and said, my husband wanted to shake the hand of the man who led Fred to the Lord. He died back in January. She said, he can't shake your hand, but I'm going to speak on behalf of both of us. She thanked me for soul winning and telling you about the Lord. I wrote her a letter back, and I told her, I said, Mrs. Skaggs, I said, someday he will shake my hand, because we'll be in heaven together. And Fred's going to be the one jumping up and down in heaven. Can I tell you something? That encouraged me. You get one letter like that in your life, you'll go out and tell somebody else about Jesus. You go to a tough old grizzled guy named Rick. And everybody in the family, you sure you want to go talk to him? I've been chased off by Tougher, don't worry. Right, Fred? Tough nut to crack. I remember the last words Larry said before I went down to Rick's trailer. Preacher, are you sure? I said, it's okay. I can't promise you what he's going to say. I said, I've been cussed out by Tougher, I promise you. Knocked on his door. My oldest son, Josh, was with me. We talked a minute. We started talking. We became buddies real quick for some reason. I said, Rick, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, no. I reached in that pocket with that very Bible right there. I opened it up to 1 John 5:13. I went to Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Revelation 20, 14 and 15, back to Romans 6, 23, and to Romans 10, 9 through 13. I said, Rick, wouldn't you like to trust Jesus and know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I sure would.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Standing there with his walker, 5 weeks from death, bowed his head, and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. I didn't know it, but my son backed up while we had our heads bowed and we were praying and took a picture on his phone. I had no idea. I was praying. He should have been. I drove back up the driveway, saw Larry, and said, he just got saved. He said, he didn't. I said, he did. Boy, tears just started streaming down his face. I didn't know 5 weeks later he'd be going to heaven. Now watch this. Al, could you push that door shut? One of you. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Do you know that picture has been such a blessing to the family right now? my son Josh said, Dad, I don't even know why I did it. I know now.
Yes,
sir. I didn't know then. We got back drunk. He said, Dad, you got to see this. I said, what? He said, you got to see this. I said, what? I thought, you've been playing on your phone while we're out soul winning? And he showed me that picture. Ooh. I said, send that to my phone. Got his name written in the back of my Bible. Told him that when he got saved, God wrote his name down in the book of life. And that when he died one day, that God would look in the book and see his name written down. Guess what? Last Monday, about 6:42, he got to heaven and God said, Rick Myers, yep, there it is. Right there, come on in. Can I tell you something? That makes you a believer in going soul winning. I had no idea. I had no idea at all. And many people had tried. And he had chased them off. Amen, Fred? That fella, tough as an old knot in a tree. I remember sitting in the living room. And then bowing his head and trusting Jesus as his Savior. And he hadn't been the same since. He's as nutty as the rest of us. Now, Wally had to change because she had to obey finally. can I tell you something? You get less frustrated in life when you start doing it God's way.
Yes,
when you start doing it his way, there's less things you want because God will change your wanter. Things that used to seem important may not be quite as important. God's not a genie in the bottle and you rub him and say, okay, give me this. It doesn't work that way. Don't expect people to love the way you love. Don't expect people to think the way you think. And may I say this, learn to think like God wants you to think. That's why you need church. The more you're at church, the more you hear the Bible taught and preached so that you can learn to think more like God thinks. So that you have less frustration in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put them down. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But someday I'd like to know that for sure. I won't embarrass you, won't come to you, won't call your name, but you'd say, that's me, preacher, I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something that I needed today. I needed some part of that sermon. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. God bless you. If you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and you'd like to join our church, we can take care of that today. If you just want to come to this altar and pray, you say, well, somebody might think I'm a sinner. Nope, we already know it, so don't worry about it because there's going to be many at this altar. In any of those situations,